I'm Kinsey Mackis, your host and founder of The Category Queen. Welcome to the podcast for coaches, consultants, and course creators who don't just want to dominate their niche, but they desire to play in their own league. My mission is to help you unlock the power of your unique brilliance and use it as a vehicle to gain recognition, reach more people, and make more money. Not too long ago, I took a bold leap, leaving behind a six-figure corporate salary with nothing more than a used MacBook and a burning desire for more freedom. Today, our brand has become globally recognized, helping thousands of female founders to become industry-leading experts. Join us each week as we go on a journey together to discuss mindset, marketing, and money, and more importantly, the real-life discussions about balancing success with motherhood and marriage. Because we're a community of women who build and scale impact-driven businesses, but do it without sacrificing the things that matter most to us. Welcome to the Category Queen Show. Hello, my fellow category queens. I'm so happy to be here with you this morning. I am currently actually looking out the window. It is such a beautiful day. The sun is out. I can smell spring. We actually just wrapped up such a beautiful week of weather. The kids actually even got their bathing suits on. We got the water jump house out, and I can just taste summer. It's just right around the corner. In fact, we just spent the last few days really organizing our summer schedule, getting camps lined up, our vacations. It's going to be here before we know it. I've learned that you have to plan for a summer much earlier than you would expect. It is kind of weird. Even before spring break, a lot of the places and organizations release their camp schedule now before spring break. It used to be after spring break. But even then, just making sure that our vacations are locked in so we can also plan our business around that and all the things. So summer's going to be here before we know it, and I cannot wait. It's going to be so amazing. So let's talk about client winning webinars. I'm so excited for this topic. I feel like it's a long time coming. We actually just delivered a full comprehensive step-by-step client winning webinars training in our Category Queen School for our students who are ready for it. And it is so robust. There's so much to cover on this topic when it comes to effectively planning, promoting, delivering, and converting a webinar. Not just any webinar, but one that feels good and authentic to you. I think that webinars have gotten a bad rap because of just how effective they really can be, and also just some of the misconceptions around it, and some of the ones that you have been to where it just feels like a total pitch fest. But webinars are not dead. Webinars are alive and kicking. And I have really come to love webinars because it's very efficient, right? I really love multi-day conversion events. The ones where, you know, 3 to 4, sometimes over a course of 2 weeks even. I really like to have that time to go deeper with my audience and even get to know our event members. But webinars are more efficient, right? If you don't have several days, or you don't want to carve out that much time, or even your audience, your target market is just more busy or less likely to sign up for something that runs several days, I think this is where webinars are just so powerful. Now, I'll always do both. I think there's a time and a place for multi-day conversion events, and there's a time and a place for webinars. But I think that in order to really scale your coaching business and kind of turn up the heat, if you will, having one really powerful, effective webinar is really, really smart. It's really, really smart. And it really becomes sort of just that predictable, reliable system you can fall back on. And so I want to talk about what exactly a webinar is. We'll clear that up. The advantages of a webinar, when you think you are ready for a webinar. So there's times where I would not recommend a webinar just yet. And some of my best practices and tips to really crush your next webinar. But first, let's talk about what a webinar is. So in the context of this conversation, a webinar is a 60 to 90 minute presentation where you deliver value to your target market on a particular topic. And at the end of that webinar, you pitch your offer. You invite them to the next steps if they want to go deeper. You know, you might have heard them called masterclasses, webinars, workshops, right? But in the context of this, this is a 60 to 90 minute delivery presentation that is pretty short and succinct. So it doesn't go over the course of a couple days or anything like that. You get people in and out. Now, the advantages of this strategy, I mean, are infinite, but let's talk about a few of the biggest ones. One of them being, it's really just one of the best ways to increase or amplify your credibility and your authority. If you think about becoming a category queen in your industry and really getting known for your brilliance, having a high converting webinar is one of the best ways to do that, especially if you start to build something around one core topic. So you're going to be able to highlight your brilliance, increase your credibility with your audience. But then on the other side of that, you are building a connection with your audience. So as your content continues to build that know, like, and trust, right? Your organic content, your posting, your emails, getting people on Zoom with you in a container like a webinar just amplifies that connection, right? It's really just allowing people to experience your energy a little bit differently. So what we're doing is we're kind of taking people off that normal cadence of, you know, reading your content, and now they're like in a virtual room with you, learning from you. So a completely different type of connection, and in my opinion, a much deeper connection. So we're increasing credibility and authority, we're enhancing that connection with our audience, and we're also allowing ourselves to really serve our audience in a deeper way. So if you do your webinars correctly, you are providing value. I think there's a misconception on webinars that either you should be just teaching them a ton of information and they'll, you know, just want to hire you at the end of it. Or the other extreme is I just need to share more about my offer and not really give value. So I think there's a more feminine approach versus masculine approach. And we really want to blend both of those. How do we give immense value and also really make it a powerful experience to call them to that next level for the people that are ready? Because people will be ready to hire you or book a call with you or join your program after your webinar if you do it well. And so for those people, we want to give them all the information they need. So it's really twofold, right? You're providing value and also you're inviting them to the next steps for those that are ready for it. So don't forget that. We're going to come back to that thought. But that, again, is just one of the biggest advantages of webinars is you can do both. You can market and you can sell. You can give value and you can serve. Webinars also are the best way, in my opinion, to build your email list. So my first few years of coaching, even growing to my first 200K, I didn't have lead magnets and or like ebooks or anything like that. I invited my audience to a conversion event, whether that was a multi-day event or a webinar. And for those people that didn't convert, guess what? They were now on my email list. And email is where the conversions will happen, right? It's where you can take people off of social and you start to build your own audience. We know that we don't necessarily own our social media audience. And so really starting to build your email list is smart, but you don't have to worry about it as if, you know, I need to build my email list first and then I can get clients or and then I'll share my offer. That is not the cadence of things. What you want to do is you want to build your audience, get clients with your organic content while you're also starting to build your email list. Again, I didn't really think about this when I was growing to my first six figures, and I don't think it's absolutely critical, but it is something to keep on the forefront of your mind, especially as you're getting closer to that six figures, multiple six figures. You obviously want to start growing your email list, and webinars are the best way. I think that giving them a lead magnet is good and helpful, and I think there's a time and a place for that. But instead of giving them a resource that they have to read on their own, which most of them will not, or even they forget what they even signed up for, inviting them to a virtual experience where you get to teach them is so much more powerful, and also they're more likely to consume it or show up for it. And so I believe that webinars are the best way to grow your email list. And then another amazing, amazing advantage of webinars is it can speed up the buying cycle of your future clients. So if you think about the average buying cycle for somebody to know you and then like you and then trust you enough to finally convert, that can be sometimes 4 to 6 months, up to a couple years. What we're seeing in the data is that the buying cycles are starting to increase a little bit just due to the economic shifts and also just the added noise in the industry. So people are becoming more hesitant and just a little bit more apprehensive. So we just have to consider that in the overall buying cycle. And, you know, there's a lot of statistics out there that say the number of touch points that somebody has to have with you in order to finally buy. You know, I've heard 11, I've heard 47. Regardless of like what it actually is, it's just really knowing that sometimes it takes people longer. It takes people more touches, whether that's them reading 20 pieces of really amazing content with you or coming to one webinar. We just have to be thoughtful about their own decision-making process. But webinars can really speed that up. And especially if you're running, if you think about a cold audience versus warm audience, webinars can even convert a brand new person. So we run ads to our webinars. And so these are people that just learned about me and they convert within those 90 minutes. But that's after a lot of practice, okay? That's like future state. And this is the possibility of webinars. But in order to get there, we want to master it with the warm audience first, right? Your current audience, inviting them to a webinar, people that are already familiar with you or know about you, and we're just like really turning up the heat. We're just like, hey, this is what I do. This is how I help you. Let's rock and roll. So webinars just really accelerate that process. Now, I also think there's a lot of personal and professional advantages to webinars for you. It really amplifies your speaking skills. It helps you become a better marketer. It helps you really learn how to captivate a room. It helps you codify your frameworks. It helps you think differently about what you teach, right? Because what we want you to do in order to really scale your coaching business from an impact and income perspective, you can't just be really good at something. You have to also be a good teacher, right? A good teacher teaches something to someone in a way that they can understand it, but then drives them to take action, right? It's both them consuming the knowledge in a way that resonates, but then them understanding the importance of actually taking action and then the steps to be able to take that action and get results. And so in order to really amplify yourself as a coach, you have to also become a really great teacher, a teacher that really activates people to take action. So it's really testing and developing that skill, because when you start to develop the mastery around webinars, right? If you think about getting a point across in less than 90 minutes, helping them think differently, feel differently, behave differently, right? You're immediately installing a transformation. And that means you're also really becoming more efficient in what you teach and how you teach it, which is, I believe, one of the most important skills you should and would want to develop. So those are just a handful of the many advantages of webinars that I believe could completely transform your business. And again, it's not necessarily looking at just the conversion factor of bringing in clients and revenue. It's all the underlying benefits of them, and it's stretching you as a coach and a mentor and a teacher and serving your audience in a more meaningful way. But let's talk about what might be considered disadvantages, if you will, or rather what you should be cautioned to if you are considering a webinar. So one of the things that I actually felt really strong about was not even teaching my launch framework, whether that was webinars or multi-day conversion events. I really didn't bring that into our entry-level program because what happens is most people are actually taught these methods first and start to rely on these types of methods without even having the foundation in place, without even knowing how to talk about an offer in a compelling way, without knowing how to even speak to a higher caliber audience. I mean, there's all these foundations that need to be in place in order for webinars to work. And some people are already there. Some people are not. And so you need to be able to evaluate for yourself, is this a strategy that I should be leveraging right now or do I need to wait? And a couple things that I want you to think about is A, is your offer already converting? So if you are not getting clients simply just through your content or talking about your offer on sales calls, webinars will not fix that. Webinars cannot fix a broken offer. The only way webinars will work is if your offer works. And so this is why I would really hesitate to teach any type of launch framework, because people like to skip to these more advanced strategies because they are more sexy, if you will. And the way that they're sold to us, yes, it's like, oh, I can have a six-figure launch just by doing one webinar. Yes, you can. But all these other things have to be in place first. And so I'm a very sequential type of mentor. I see success in sequence, and that's how we teach things. But what I've come to learn is that everybody's, again, on different pathways, ready for different things. And so we have been bringing in more of this launch content into the Category Queen School. And it's really through the lens of here's what you need first in order for these to work. But guess what? If you're not ready for it yet, it'll be here when you're ready for it. And so you need an offer that's converting already, and you need to know who your target audience is. You need to be able to identify the specific problem you solve. A webinar cannot fix that either, right? If you have vague, broad messaging, that will also carry over into your webinar, and vague webinars absolutely do not convert. And so your first step is to just get proof of concept. You need to be able to create content that generates interest for your offer, that has people reaching out to you so you can have conversations with people and make offers to help them. That's the most simple way. We call that the fastest path to clients. You do this through discovering your unique niche, having a simple offer that you can articulate the value to your audience, and being able to create content that converts. That method, that framework, that is in the Category Queen School, and that's what people master. That's how I got to my first six figures. It's so, so simple and yet so overlooked because all these other strategies like webinars and launch events and funnels, they sound sexier and they're easier to sell. But guess what? They don't work for the majority of people because they don't have this foundation first. So I'm a big believer on that. And you'll see when you come into our programs that we're really encouraging you to follow this system. But again, everybody grows differently and has a little bit more capacity or energy or time or skill to start to delve into these more advanced strategies. So that is why we released the entire client winning webinar framework, system, toolkit, templates, oh my gosh, all the things in the Category Queen School, because I want people to be able to fast track their success if they're ready for it. And if you're not ready for it, you can come back to it when you are. So that is a big consideration when thinking about the disadvantages, if you will, of webinars, is that if you don't have these other things in place, you'll actually spend more time, potentially more money, absolutely more energy developing something that should work, but it won't because these other levers have to be put in place. And so that's what we see a lot when people come into the school. They have a complete funnel built out. They have this whole webinar system and it's not even converting. And so we go back to the fundamentals. And guess what? They end up making money faster and more simply because it's those fundamentals, and then coming back to those more advanced layers. And so that's just really a consideration because, again, there's more to manage. If you think about a puzzle with 12 pieces versus a puzzle with 1,000 pieces, right? More time, more energy, more focus. You have to be aware of more things in the system, in the full puzzle. And so when there's less pieces to put together, it's just easier, right? You can see the clear picture, you can understand how these things go together, and then you can start to go from there. And so the other consideration, or rather maybe disadvantage of a webinar, is that there's this misconception that if I just flip a switch, people will come. People will come. Or I can just flip a switch and have a six-figure launch. And it's this one and done mentality that does not work. It doesn't work for webinars, but it also doesn't work for online marketing in general. Most of everything that has created the most success for my company are things that I have rinsed and repeated, but it started with things falling flat first. It's rare that I roll something out that immediately hits, whether that's an offer or a webinar or a conversion event or a piece of content. It's rare that I just come out of the gate with these, like, you know, incredible marketing campaigns and I have people flocking in from a leads or client's perspective. And I think that it's really easy to get caught up in this broken mentality, like, oh, this doesn't work. I need to move on to the next thing. But when something doesn't work, it means it's time to fine tune it. It's time to narrow in the focus and narrow in the discipline. And so a lot of people don't have that discipline yet. And so that's why webinars won't work for them. And so when we come to these considerations and sort of disadvantages of webinars, is that if you don't have the discipline and mastery to continue to really, again, fine tune and develop the discipline around to be patient, that is a problem. If you think about the power of a webinar, like I mentioned earlier, being able to take a cold lead, somebody that's never met you, to becoming a high-paying client in less than 90 minutes, holy crap, right? That is the ultimate bulletproof system for your coaching business online. But that does not happen overnight. It really requires the discipline and the mastery within that. And so it's not about doing it one time and seeing if it works. It's about deciding that you're going to make it work. It's not about if, but when. And so being able to have the fortitude to really stay consistent and geek out on all the ways you can continue to optimize that webinar. I'm 100% in a season where I thought that what really awakened me or really gave me sort of that creative flow was being able to bring new ideas to the market, new things, right? New conversion events, new offers, new ideas. But that actually gets pretty tiresome. And I think that we are really used to people telling us, like, oh, it's okay. Like, if you're bored, it's okay. Like, you can launch a new offer, do this, do that. Like, always keep it fresh. That is not really good for the majority of us women, because everything that you do that's new requires more time, more energy. It might be a success right out of the gate or something that you feel more, quote unquote, aligned with. But in the long run, it may just be creating more work for you. And I just know this from a personal experience. And so I have really shifted into this new season of just wanting my focus to be on a few core things and letting that creativity come through in problem solving on how I make the things that we do better, not by creating new things. And I just challenge you to think about what that could look like for you. Because after the many years of believing that I'm just a multi-passionate creative and I need to be always creating new things, after really deeply believing that, coming on the other side of that is like, I'm tired of that. I'm so tired and I want more spaciousness in my week. I want to actually cut back my hours. And so in order to do that, it means we have to just do less, but do it better. it requires less time and energy to just optimize a few key things versus always rolling out new stuff. So if you go back to this idea of webinars, it's really asking yourself, am I willing to commit to this one thing and have it be my rinse and repeat method? Really give myself that space to double down and perfect this system. So those are just disadvantages, but more through the lens of be caution, stay caution to these particular elements, because I think that could be seen as a disadvantage, but it's really just effectively evaluating how these actually work and being honest with what makes them work. Let's move into the different stages of webinars, and I'm going to unpack these individually and help you see what to be focused on and also what to avoid or mistakes to avoid. Again, I strongly recommend downloading the toolkit that we have in the show notes. It's going to give you a deeper dive on some of these elements, and it's also going to be a go-to reference guide for you as you plan your next webinar. If you want to go deeper, absolutely come into the Category Queen School so that you can see this laid out with more depth and also get my support in helping you completely crush your webinar in the best way. But let's talk about the three phases. So I see it as pre-webinar, delivery, and then post-webinar. So the pre-webinar is that stage gearing up for the actual delivery of the webinar. So this includes the planning of the webinar, the preparing of the webinar, and the promoting of the webinar. This is the biggest lift and often requires the most work. And this is also where people skip. It's kind of like I hear people get an idea for a webinar and then in a week or so they're doing a webinar, which is really great. I love the fast action. But in order to be able to actually get the webinar to work with you or work for you, you need people there. And in order to get people there, we need to give people time and a reason to be able to show up. And in order to give people a time and a reason to actually show up to the webinar, we have to effectively position the webinar, plan for the webinar, and think about how that strategic roadmap is going to look leading up to the webinar itself. And so the first step within pre-webinar is first picking a date and then committing to that date. I say this first because what I find is people will, as they start to gear up for the webinar, there's either the people, like I mentioned, they'll make a decision and like throw it up tomorrow or the next week with little planning, or they decide they're going to do a webinar without actually committing to a date. And so because of fear, it's all because of fear, even if they don't know it yet. And then they start planning for it, but then they keep moving that marker out because they don't feel quote unquote ready. Again, it's just fear. And so they just keep moving that webinar date out and out and further out. Before you know it, they've been working a long time on the webinar planning and not actually doing the webinar itself. So pick a date, and I would say 3 to 4 weeks from now, just to give yourself some time. And then you're going to move into, okay, what is the actual webinar? What's the topic that I'm talking about? And this is where I spend the most time with our clients. And I have a full lesson just on this itself, because picking a title and a headline is one of the most important things you can do for your webinar. This is going to be the reason that people show or don't show. And it's also going to be the epicenter of your full content strategy around the webinar. Just like broad, vague messaging and content doesn't convert, a broad, vague title will not get people to show up and therefore will not get people to convert into your programs. And so we have to spend some time around the title. And I give a full list of options and considerations when it comes to choosing your title. But first, we want to also think about your webinar framework. So there's actually 4 different content frameworks that I cover inside of the Category Queen School. And these are the different types of webinars that you can run. There's 4 different types. And really thinking about that first is going to help then you develop a better title. If you decide on what your actual content framework, your webinar framework is going to be, it's going to be a lot easier to choose your title. And then I have all different like examples and things to consider when choosing your title of your webinar. And so that is the first step. And again, the most important that's going to probably require a little bit more of the brain energy, if you will, and really making sure it's in line with your high caliber client. And also it's compelling, right? A lot of times when people run their webinars, I'll look at the metrics and they'll tell me, you know, it didn't convert because they think it didn't convert because they didn't have enough people show up. Maybe they only had 20 people show up, which, by the way, you can have such incredible success with webinars with a tiny, tiny audience. That's something to really make sure that you shift in your belief. And this is also for you if you're selling one-to-one. So this is regardless of your offer, whether it's one-to-one or group or course, webinars work 100%. So a lot of times when people believe that their webinar didn't convert because they didn't have a lot of people show up, they think that they go right to either scrapping the webinar altogether or changing the webinar content. But if you think about show up rate, that's directly related to the reason why people are not signing up. And so we have to look at, is there a compelling reason? Are you giving people a compelling reason to show up to your webinars? And that starts with the title. It starts with the key takeaways all on that landing page and whether or not people are going to say yes or no. And so after you come up with your title and your topic and your key takeaways, obviously you're going to put together a registration page where people can opt in, and we go through the flow. I go through this entire step-by-step system in the school, and I give you really good visuals so you can see what part of the process is, because it can feel quote-unquote tech heavy, but we make it really simple. If you are just starting with webinars, you don't need to use fancy tech. It can be really, really simple. I want you to focus on mastering the marketing and selling of it and the actual delivery. Then you are worrying about all these fancy tech systems, okay? So if you're just getting going, literally Zoom and a simple landing page is perfect. And I will always recommend a tech platform like ConvertKit that has email software, but they also have simple landing pages. Or if you want a little bit more advanced, ClickFunnels. ClickFunnels is the best for optimized landing pages, and I can't say enough. So those are just a little tips and tricks to keeping your tech simple. But obviously you need a registration page where people can sign up. That's where you also get their email list, and then you can remind them to show up for the webinar itself. So once you have your registration page, you're going to start sharing it. You're going to start sharing content that gives people a reason to go to the page and sign up for your webinar. The biggest mistake people make here is A, not sharing enough. So they think that sharing once or twice is enough, and it's not, or having really boring content, okay? So join my webinar is not a compelling reason for people to join your webinar. You have to think about your webinar as an offer. Even though it's free, you think about it as if it were a paid offer, and really thinking about a content strategy that is going to really encapsulate. It's like captures people's attention, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have to be there, just like you would want to do with your offer. Oh my gosh, I absolutely need this. So your content runway leading up to the webinar, to fill your webinar, you want to think about really strategic pieces of content that are going to get people to show up. In the Category Queen School, I give you a full launch runway, a full webinar runway of a content outline, including our highest converting pieces of content for filling our webinars. So this is really helpful, but it goes back to, am I giving enough reasons for people to join my webinar, and am I talking about it enough? So you'll want to start talking about your webinar 10 to 14 days from the webinar date, and you're talking about it every day. So don't assume that people see your content. Remember, only 5 to 10% of people see your content online. And also when it comes to email, sometimes it just requires a different angle or for it to hit people differently. We also get them a lot of signups towards the end, like that last call type of piece of content. So people are sometimes just waiting, you know, until they like, it's like, oh my gosh, I actually have to sign up for this. So really do that runway due diligence with really amazing content every day leading up to the webinar itself. So that's really that pre-webinar phase. It's the planning, the preparing and the promoting it. And within that, depending on where you're at in your business, the preparation might look and feel a little bit differently. So I generally encourage women to do some of the even pre-work on their webinar so that they can have this done, right? Even considering their post-webinar sequence, which we'll talk about in a minute, the more work you can get done before you're doing the webinar, the better. And what I find is that when I'm actually writing content for my webinar, that's when my best ideas come for my pre-webinar content and also my post-webinar content. So the more that you can get done ahead of time, the better. And also, you don't want to be writing content when you're in the middle of a webinar, because it's likely that things may not even go your way. And so what you're doing is you end up creating content from a space of defeatedness or lack or fear. And so give yourself that time to really create the assets ahead of time so you can just be fully present to the webinar process, because it's so fun. It's so fun. And when you stay in that heart of service, you will be so much more magnetic. So then we move into the actual delivery of the webinar. So this is webinar day, and this is when you are reminding people to show up and you give them their link and they join you on Zoom or whichever platform you're using. And this is the live webinar. Now, in this context, we're not talking about evergreen funnels. I 100% do not agree that you should be using on-demand trainings if you're below multiple six figures. Give people the opportunity to experience you live, and being able to do these live experiences gives you so much more data, so much more feedback, and you get to connect with your audience at a deeper level. So again, for the context of these conversations, it's about a live webinar. So people are joining you live and you're delivering your content. So this is like the meat of the work, because then you have to think about, what am I actually saying on this webinar? Now, again, we have four main webinar frameworks that we recommend you using. You'll choose one of them, but then the actual structure of the content, right? What do you start with? How do you transition to education? And then how do you transition to the offer? So we walk you through that step by step. But some things to really consider is that you want to really honor people's time. And so you're going to want to practice this ahead of time to make sure that you are staying within that time frame, but also that things really flow. So what I see often is people will just take these like template slides and just like put their information in there. And then when they deliver it, it like doesn't even sound like them. It's really choppy, it's clunky, because it didn't really come from their heart and their flow. And so it's completely disconnected. So instead of thinking about what to say on a slide, I really want you to think about the full structure, and we walk you through that step by step and sort of thinking about, okay, at this part of the webinar, here's what we're talking about, and then here's how I'm transitioning to the core content. Now, the core content should be about 40 to 45 minutes. And this is when you're delivering that value. And within the webinar frameworks, the four different types that we teach you, this is going to be dependent on which framework you choose. But this is really the information that you're teaching people. And the biggest mistake that people make here is giving a lot of how-to information or just stuffing the whole enchilada in that like 45 minutes. And we have to really take a step back and realize, A, your people actually don't need more info. And just like the way we teach content that converts, webinars that convert are first transforming how people think and feel. There are barriers that stand in between your potential client and the solution that they want. And it's not necessarily them having your solution. It's them believing something different, right? Believing in themselves differently, believing in the industry differently, believing in the solution differently. So you have to really consider the fact that your people have a certain set of beliefs that are going to completely prevent them from buying your thing, right? Joining your program or hiring you. Because if they don't believe that they can actually get the result that you can offer them, then it won't matter how good your offer is. They will not buy because they don't have belief in themselves. It just goes back to even some of the main misconceptions that your people have about your particular industry, right? I know for you guys, for my industry, for my audience, you believe you need a really big audience in order to be successful online. And so a lot of my content that I teach, I'm really dismantling that belief and showing you through proof, whether that's testimonials or case studies or statistics or through my own sort of like frameworks. And you have to think about that for your people. What are the misconceptions and beliefs that they have that are preventing them from trusting you enough to hire you? A lot of people go straight to the core objections of an offer itself, right? Time or money, which yes, people have those. But way before that, they have general misconceptions and beliefs just about themselves in your industry. So we need to address those, and those have to be weaved into the webinar. So this isn't necessarily just teaching them about a bunch of how to. This is really transforming their thoughts and their beliefs. That's the deep, deep layers that we need to go to in order to create this really amazing experience in your webinar and also tee them up for your offer. So when it comes to the mistake of just like giving a bunch of how-to information, what happens is people either leave completely satisfied, so they don't need your offer, or they don't think they need your offer, or they just leave completely overwhelmed, so they 100% will not be ready for your offer, right? So we want to find that sweet spot of how do we really give that value to them so that they come feeling served, but also they're excited to go deeper. They're excited to actually make a change in their life or their business for the better, and they want you to help them do that. So that core content is really, that's the purpose of that, and people miss the mark on that. Because it's hard. It's a practice you have to develop. Teaching the why and the what is so different than teaching the how. And my clients are still really mastering this. It's really quick for me to do. I can really simply see the why and the what versus the how and pull people out of that. But if you are not used to that, right, that's another skill you're developing in this. And so we want to make sure we're not like taking people in the weeds and just overwhelming them, because there is an abundant amount of information and information is not lacking. That's not what your people need. So we're going to really stay at that why and the what level. In our webinars that convert framework, I show you the difference and I walk you through some examples so you can quickly see what that looks and feels like. But that's the biggest thing you want to stay away from in that core content section of your webinar, is overwhelming people or completely satisfying them enough where they don't even need you. That is the sweet spot. And then the pitch, right? And people are like, oh, I hate that word. I don't like pitch. It's like, it is what it is. Selling, pitching. And what I actually like to think of this is it's selling from stage. If you ever imagine seeing yourself on stage, delivering a message, transforming people's hearts and minds, this is where it starts. Selling on webinars, and selling is serving. And so what happens in the pitch phase is either people will completely skip it and not even say anything about their offer because they think that they're being salesy or spammy, or they'll just talk a few minutes about it and be done. But you have to really give your offer the due diligence it deserves. And so I like to spend at least 15 minutes and then some. So I'll stay on until people are done. Sometimes in this instance, it could be hours. Russell Brunson will stay on his webinar until the last person has hopped off. So I've heard him say sometimes 3 to 4 hours. If people are still on, this means that they are hanging on to your every word. So don't discount that. But regardless, you're spending 15 to 20 minutes talking about your offer and people will be ready for it. And the people that aren't, they'll kindly hop off. There's this idea of like, I don't want to be spammy or salesy, but the truth is you do. You do want to sell. You do want to pitch, because you know that people will have the best transformation with you if they trust you enough to hire you. And your responsibility is to show them why they should trust you, why your offer is valuable, and help them see how this is going to change their life. That is your responsibility, whether it's on a webinar or your organic content or on a sales call. So you cannot shy away from this. This is part of the process. And you just gave so like immense content, immense value in that core content. So you deserve to share your offer, because like I said, people will be ready. They're going to be asking for it. So as you transition from the core content to the pitch, this is when you shift the focus to now giving your audience, your webinar attendees, all the information they need in order to make a decision as to whether or not they want to move into that next steps with you, whether that's join your program or hire you or buy your thing. And so we spend some time really uncovering the offer through the lens of sharing the benefits and the value, and then you wrap up the webinar. Obviously, you offer Q&A, and again, you can stay on as long as people are on with you. A lot of people feel awkward here, like they need to hop off really fast. But again, if people are still on, really leverage that time to give them space to ask their questions. And I always like to have a back, like a set of questions in my back pocket to speak to if people don't start asking questions right away. But generally, once you initiate that time for questions and you even start to speak to some of the most frequently asked questions, people will 100% start asking questions. But be okay too with the silence. This is something that people get really uncomfortable with, is like, oh, people aren't talking, I need to wrap this up and head out. But again, if people are on, they're waiting. They're there for a reason. And so you wrap up the webinar and then you move into post-webinar process, which is then giving your people, again, the information they need to make a decision as to whether or not your offer is for them. And so generally, this is, you know, you probably have heard like open cart, closed cart during this time period when there's a certain campaign. So I don't recommend, quote unquote, closing doors or closing out the options for people to hire you or join your program until you have really the demand or finances to sustain a closed cart. So there's other ways you can create urgency. So think about that campaign ending, right? So you have your webinar on webinar delivery day, and then generally 4 to 7, maybe 10 days at max, you're reminding people that something is going away after this campaign. Now, again, this is not a place or time to lie or make things up, right? In order to insert urgency that isn't really real. It's just typically either maybe a price incentive goes away or a bonus goes away, but you're really just delivering immense value through this post webinar email sequence, also in your content, your social media content generally. And it's just sharing how you help people, what this offer does for them, overcoming objections through that content. And so we're generally delivering emails and also doubling down on social content. But it can be very simple. It can be very, very, very simple. I remember the first webinar I did, I followed a male mentor of mine, and I followed his process step by step. And it was really tech heavy. And it was like this really big production and this really big open cart, closed cart sequence. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm actually doing this thing, and I spent so much time and energy kind of building out this big thing, but I didn't have the knowledge to know like what really needed to be there and what didn't and what could grow with me. And so this is what I'm really enforcing into our students as they implement their client winning webinars, is that really mastering the basics and the fundamentals first of webinars. And then you can continue to add in layers like bonuses throughout the post webinar sequence, or a fast action bonus, or some sort of, you know, replay funnel. Like there's so many different things you can do with this, but you don't need to do that until you just get the most simple things done. So even if you have a couple pieces of content after your webinar, just reminding people of the offer itself, and then any sort of quote unquote thing that's going away, that's powerful too. Again, I find that people in this stage are writing their content during the post-webinar timeframe. But when you're writing content under that lens, again, typically if the webinar hasn't already gone your way, let's say you get a low show-up rate and that's in your head and it's really messing with your confidence and your clarity, you're not going to be able to write really high-value promo sequences, high value promo emails and content. So I strongly recommend you creating these beforehand so that you're in a really good headspace. And in this series or this sequence after the webinar, you're just really present. You're watching, you're seeing what people are doing. Now, as you get more advanced, you can create more pivots or adjustments or tweaks last minute to see what you might be able to do to maybe increase your conversions. Typically, by the time you really know what to look for and you have a rinse and repeat machine, you have metrics to really watch for that are going to give you some sort of benchmark as to, are we kind of hitting the mark here or not based on previous data? So if you have a general show up rate of say 40 to 50%, but you do one and you have a really low show up rate this time around. Okay, so let's figure out why that might be happening. Is it a fluke or is there something that didn't go out or do we need to send out one more email reminder, right? You might also have a trend or data around your open rates on your post-webinar email sequence. And so as you start to develop that mastery and perfect that system, and you know that if people were to read these emails, they would convert, but the open rates are a little bit lower. So, okay, let's change the subject line so that we can get more people to open the piece of content or the, you know, the email, if you will. So there's all sorts of stages of webinars when you're just getting started to when you've got that rinse and repeat machine and it's more about just fine tuning the data and really looking at opportunities to optimize. This is why it's so important to have a mentor or somebody that can look at your data and look at what's happening to give sort of an outsider perspective. Because sometimes when you're so in the weeds, it can be hard to know what should I adjust, right? Sometimes you don't need to adjust anything other than your email sequence before the webinar. Sometimes you don't need to change anything other than, say, just feeling your webinar, right? It's really about isolating these parts and stages of the full webinar and figuring out where do I need to spend my time and energy to really optimize, and then really showing up in your biggest, boldest self. But in the post-webinar stage, I find that the mistakes here are really related to, again, relying on that time to create their promo content. And so they're not in a good headspace. So generally, they either don't write it at all because they've already essentially identified this webinar as a flop, right? So if let's say you have a low show up rate and after that webinar you're like, what's the point? No, like hardly any people showed up. Why would I even do this? That's really common. That's why I'm always like, commit to the full process and go all in. Don't let the circumstances or the results throughout that process deter you from stopping or stalling or turning the other way. It's really important to follow through. This is all about integrity and sticking to your word and showing up even when. I can't even tell you how many times I have had a webinar where it's like, where is everybody? This is so awkward. Like I have, you know, generally we have a typical show up rate, you know, between 40 and 50%. And I've had times where it's been, you know, 20%. And I'm like, what is happening? But I have to really shift that energy and shift that frame of mind and deliver powerfully for the people that did show up. And I'll never, ever forget my first webinar when I like totally overcomplicated it. And I was like, what is even happening? But I did all this work. I spent all this time and only one person showed up. But I did it. I followed through. I showed up. I did the core content. And I felt so proud of myself. Was I discouraged? Yes, of course. But the point here is that it's not about just that one time quick success, right? It's about what we talked about earlier in this is a long-term game. This is a long-term strategy that you're just going to continue to perfect, and you have to be willing to kind of suck at it first, right? And it kind of goes along with everything else in our life of like, well, we're always going to be new at something first, but are you willing to fine tune it and master it in order to truly get the results that you're seeking? So in that post webinar series, you know, when you're sending emails out to your audience and really doubling down on your social content, perhaps you decided to run a fun bonus during that time. It's really leaning into that and noticing, what is your audience doing? What are they coming up with the objections for? One of the other mistakes that people do in this stage is they're not talking to their audience. So generally, I think that when we have these sort of webinars or these systems that are meant to bring us clients and leads on sort of autopilot, we can kind of get into that sense of like, oh, it should just come and work. And yeah, down the road, you'll find that these systems, they can work in that flow. It's that fluid of like, okay, I can set it and not forget it, but I can set it and let it work. But you do have to have eyes on it. And when you're in the beginning phases of your business, when your audience isn't as big or you have less to worry about, I can't even stress this enough that don't just sit behind your computer and let that content go out. Don't just let the emails do, you know, don't assume that the emails and the content after that webinar is just going to make people flock in. When I was first doing our launches in my first couple years, we were actively having conversations with them after the event. We would notice that people were, you know, super, super interactive during our webinars or during our multi-day events and really loving what we were putting out there. But when it came to joining the program, they wouldn't join. And so we're asking them, hey, we notice you haven't joined yet. You know, what's preventing? What questions do you have? Giving people the opportunity to ask the questions, and also really knowing that people sometimes won't ask a question unless they're prompted. And so while you have the capacity, while your audience is small, do both. Have the emails going out to your audience and have the content on social, really providing that value, but then also going behind the scenes and having conversations with these people. Until you really master these things, right? If you think about a high converting email sequence, you know, at one point we got to a place where we didn't need to have those conversations at all. And the emails were doing everything for us. But we realized that there was still that gap of people that weren't joining because they had questions, but they weren't asking them. And so I believe that, yes, these marketing kind of automations, if you will, can do a lot of that for you. But I wouldn't rely solely on it, especially when you're still really figuring out the messaging and the offer and really like having that opportunity to talk to your people is one of the most incredible experiences and the biggest opportunities you have as a coach, as a leader, as a CEO. It's never lose touch with the heartbeat of your business, which is your ideal client. And so any opportunity you have to talk to them, invite them to ask questions, hopefully they're, you know, you're having them book a call. I do not recommend sending them to a sales page until you have a really, really amazing sales page, which means your offer is converting, right? And you already know what to put on that sales page. Sales pages just convert so much lower. And so you want to make sure that you are able to really have a pulse on what they're thinking, what they're feeling after the webinar. And this, the best way to do that is to just have a genuine conversation with them. And so that's one of the things I would strongly recommend, even if you didn't have a post-webinar promo content series, just leaning into having conversations with everybody that attended. Super, super valuable. That will pay off. Remember, the things that quote unquote are not scalable are generally the things that are the winning strategies. And most people aren't doing this because they believe that they're too good for it or they've outgrown it or what have you. But I promise it is so worth it. And this is going to get you to that next stage. And at that point, you can decide, how do I scale this more intimate approach? Or how do I scale this component of having conversations, right? And that's those are the types of questions we should be asking versus how do I just set it and forget it? I don't believe that set it and forget it strategies work anymore. Time and time again, I'm reminded of this, and there's just people that want to talk to a human. And so give them that option. So we just covered a lot. We covered the full stages of webinars, right? Pre-webinar, the actual delivery of the webinar, post-webinar, the mistakes to avoid, and some of my best practices within those stages, while also hopefully just selling you on the idea of a webinar and how impactful it can be in your business, not just from a revenue perspective, but how it grows you and develops you as a thought leader, you know, as a coach, as a CEO. And so if you're at the place where you have a converting offer and you feel like you have capacity to try something new, this is such a good place to start, right? You don't have to manage a multi-day event, although those are so good because you get a little bit more time with your audience. It's a little bit more to manage. Right? Webinars are not as much. And so this is such a good starting point. But if you need help with that, join us in the school. I have my full step-by-step system with all the templates, all the PDFs that you can need to really sink this concept in. I guide you through these elements and really show you the way using examples and stories, but also teaching it in a way that just makes sense without the complexities of tech and all the things that are overwhelming. And so it's helpful to have not just the system, but then the coach and the mentor to actually help you through those, right? Because you come get coached. We have opportunities every week for you to get coached. And this is a perfect opportunity in that regard. But regardless, grab that toolkit. This is going to really just summarize a lot of what we talked about here in a more condensed way. It also has some metrics that you can consider and really look out for, especially in your first, you know, handful of webinars as you get your rhythm, and some examples of our registration pages and things like that. So you, as you build this out, you can really look to someone who's already done it, who's, you know, doing it well and has a proven strategy. So grab that totally free and just enjoy it. I think this is so fun. If you feel afraid, that's a good sign that maybe it's time to lean into something like this and really stretch yourself and really think about how you can serve your audience in that higher level and really show up in that as the expert as you already are. All right, my friends, I hope you enjoyed this and I'll see you next week. Hey, if you're ready to stand out online and get paying clients consistently without having to fumble your way through tech, run ads, or create complicated funnels, I want to invite you to join us in the Category Queen School, where you're going to learn my simple, proven formula for getting clients online. It's risk-free. You either make your money back or we'll give you a refund. Just head over to kinzeymackus.com/theCQ School. And join today to get instant access. We'll see you inside.